Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's pick it up now. So this is the premise: unless you had believed in vain, that would be a horrible thing. He's challenging them. Hold fast that word which was preached to you. Why? Because it's the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Hold on to that. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So, is Paul telling his own message? Are you telling your own message? Or are you just the recipient of something and you are passing on the good news? Now, from time to time, you and I catch wind, and I'm telling you, I know you do this. Hey, we heard about this great restaurant. We ate there last night, and it was just awesome. I mean, I thank God that somebody told me about Oklahoma Joe's. And you know how excited I was to know that no longer is it just the gas station? No longer is it just over in Olathe? Not just on Strang Line, not just up off Rainbow, but now there's going to be where TGI Fridays used to be, kind of near Town Center. There's going to be an Oklahoma Joe's right there. Now that's good news. That's good information for us. We should be excited about that. You don't withhold good information. I didn't withhold that from you except for a few weeks. You don't withhold good news. You're going to share that with somebody. You're going to encourage them to know what it is that's happened. But the first of all, you had to be a recipient of that, right? You had to be a recipient of that good news. What better news than that you could do nothing to earn favor with God, but that your sin, because we know we're sinners, but our sin can be forgiven. What good news. We can have a relationship with the one true living God. Paul says, that which I first of all received. He says, I received that personally. I received that from the Lord. And this is what he then goes in and declares. This is the gospel message, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So does he go back into John's gospel, Matthew's gospel, Luke's? What scriptures does he use? That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Did he turn to 1 Thessalonians or Philippians that he himself wrote by the Spirit? What's he talking about? He is talking about the Old Testament scriptures which declare this same truth. The gospel is not just a New Testament message. It's the fulfillment of it, but it's not just a New Testament message. They were believing, just like you're believing looking back at the cross, they were believing looking forward to the cross. So the people of God in the past were believing that God would provide a Messiah. They went through the animal sacrifices and so forth, believing that there would be ultimately this Messiah that would come, that would be the fulfillment. We are looking back by faith, just like they were looking forward by faith. The cross is at the center of it. It all boils down to what Jesus did for us on the cross. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Psalm 22, simple, quick reference, and Isaiah 53. Go back and read through those. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. You find where it talks about Jesus as the suffering servant and what he went through on the cross for you and for me. Those are just a couple of quick ideas to look through. And then it says, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is interesting. You look at Jonah and his message. go to Nineveh. Think about what happened with Jonah. En route, he's sent to go there, but he jumps ship and goes another direction because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't like the Ninevites. He doesn't want to share any good news with them. So he jumps ship, goes another direction, only to find out that, you know, they're in this nasty tempest storm and they're just making inquiry and, man, who's done what that brought this evil upon us? And Jonah said, oh, it was me. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. That's a good reminder to do what God wants us to do, huh? So they throw him overboard, naturally. For him, it's probably good news. You know, gosh, maybe I can just end this miserable nightmare of not doing what I'm supposed to, because you're miserable when you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord. No doubt. So he's overboard. The big fish comes up. That's what it sounds like when a big fish comes up. He comes up, swallows him up. And you think, oh, that's just a fanciful story. Really? Why would Jesus quote that and go back and discuss it if it's just a story? No, I believe a great fish came up and swallowed him and he lived through it. We won't make the retching sound of a fish barfing up him on the shore, but he made this, you know, goes up, gets barfed out on the shore, walks around, right? This is what happens to him. You know, he's covered with, can you imagine all the, it's just what a horrible mess. And he comes up and he's walking around Nineveh. Can you imagine that? Wandering around Nineveh. And as he wanders around, just proclaiming to them that salvation was, you know, in that sense, in their understanding, that they were to repent was basically what it was. They were to repent. And they did. Radical. Radical, radical news, radical information. Isaac, Genesis 22, Old Testament scriptures, on the third day. You remember what happened with Isaac? A type of Christ in that sense. Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham, as God's talking to him, take thy son, thine only son, the son that you love, take him to the Mount Moriah, which is the place of the skull or Calvary. Take him there and sacrifice. Ultimately, God provided, remember, the sacrifice, ultimately, and that was in the form of Jesus Christ. But to show us these examples of what would happen, that he was buried and that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul, just like you, just like me, we can base these simple truths on the scriptures. Now he goes on and he says, and then, so this idea, because the gospel is the gospel. Stay with me because we're going to finish this up in a few minutes, but you got to stay with this because this is really important. The gospel contains those two major components. One, the first component was that Christ died for our sins. The second component was that he rose again on the third day. So there was the death and the resurrection. Both are significant. Sacrificial death and resurrection. Both. That's the good news. That's the gospel is what Paul is saying. So you can't take a part of it. You can't disavow it. Or what do you have? You have vain belief. You get where he's going with this. And he says in verse 5, and that he was seen, Jesus, was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. He says, this risen Christ was seen by Peter and then by the other 12. And after that, he was seen by 500 brethren at once. 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrected Christ. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. It's one thing if you see something. It's one thing if the person with you sees that too. And it's one thing if 500 people there see the same thing. That's radical, powerful testimony, isn't it? Right here, we have testimony that we have seen the power of God. God has changed our lives. He's come and made our heart his home. He lives within us. After he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom, and this is so great, Paul says, the greater part remain to the present. Some have died, some have fallen asleep, he says. Some have gone to be with the Lord. But he says, to the greater degree, most of these people are still alive. You can make inquiry with them. That's how powerful. Now remember, what's Paul's background? Paul's a Pharisee of Pharisees. This guy was an attorney. He understood what it took to have a clear, solid case. And he's saying, this is airtight, man. This is an airtight deal. And he goes, not only that, after all of this has gone on, he says, and after that, he was seen by James, which was he speaking of Jesus' brother, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. He says, you know, on the road to Damascus, I met him. I saw the risen Christ. And then he was discipled by Jesus out in the desert of Arabia. He was discipled by the Lord. This is where he clearly saw the scriptures as they unfolded for him, as he saw who Jesus really is. He says in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And you remember, he was a force to be reckoned with the early church, as he would go from place to place, as he would seek to incarcerate and eradicate what was known as the way, Christianity at its time. During that first few years as the church was birthed, Paul was one of the key guys running around trying to eliminate it. And he says, man, I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. One sent out by God. He goes, I don't feel like, I should even have that title really in that sense, because of who I know who I am and what I did. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, whether it was one of those 500 eyewitnesses, or whether it was one of the other, whether it was Peter or one of the other 12 or whomever it was, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. How does it happen if we don't proclaim it? How does it happen that people are going to believe it? There's got to be, God has chosen to partner with you and me. Amazing as it is for all of us, believe me, God has chosen to work through you and me, the likes of us, to reach our world today. God wants to do that. And he says, whether it was I or whether it was they, so we preach and you believe. It goes that way. Somebody's got to be sharing with somebody, and then somebody's going to believe. But we have to be doing the first for the second to take place. God wants to move in and through our lives. This is the significance of sharing what God's done in your life. You know, sometimes I think we don't want to share because it might not be fresh today. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes we don't want to talk about that because I'm not sensing that today. But it's as real today as it was when you first got on your knees and gave your life to Jesus Christ. When that transaction took place, it's as real today as it was that day that it first took place for you. And the sad thing that can happen to some of us is we can start getting so caught up in all kinds of informational stuff that we forget the simple gospel message, and that it changes lives, that it heals hearts. Oh, man, and how desperate our world needs that. We need the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, he said, if that's the good news, if that's the gospel message, if that's what we've been proclaiming to you, and you receive that and it changed your life, how, he says, do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How did you get caught up believing then in this other idea, this Epicurean thing that, hey, you know, it's just live as you want, do what you want, it doesn't really matter. How did you get caught up in believing any of this? How does some among you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? But if there, and he goes into a defense, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If there is no resurrection, if that doesn't exist, In other words, if it's just ashes to ashes, dust to dust, if there is no afterlife, if there is nothing, he says, if there is no resurrection, then Christ isn't risen. Then that didn't happen. And if Christ is not risen, if that didn't happen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. He says, then this is a big waste of time. We might as well go hit the bar, forget it. We might as well go just go party and forget this whole thing. It's a waste of time. It's not. That's why we started where we started. You either believe it 100% or you don't. I am 100% convinced and have deep conviction and obviously just a sliver of passion regarding this truth. Nothing on the face of this earth gets me more excited than the simple gospel message of Jesus Christ. And when I watch a life transferred and when we get to see lives transferred from darkness into light, there is nothing more exciting, nothing more wonderful than God doing that powerful work that only God can do. Only God can do it. He says, man, if Christ isn't risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Everything that we've been talking about, this is a waste of time. Might as well go home. Yes, because see, I don't believe this is a country club. I don't believe church was ever meant to be a country club. I reject and I'm offended by that concept. I don't believe that that's what this is supposed to be about. I believe this is supposed to be about lives that were changed because we met God. We can go sign up and be a part of country clubs and do other things, but that's not what the church is. The church is lives that have been transformed by the love and grace and the transforming power of God, taken out of darkness and brought into light. It's a new life that we get to have. And so we get together because we all found the same new life in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what we're getting together doing, enjoying that. So if this is all just a waste of time, and yes, Paul says in verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God, in other words, that this isn't the truth, is that possible? You see, that's not possible. He's defending this. He says, yes, and then we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he, some might believe, did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. He's got this shotgun. I don't know what kind of gun. He's got just a large artillery piece of weaponry, whatever type of gun you want to use, but he is blowing to just completely annihilating the Epicurean philosophy. He's completely annihilating it. Yet what do we see and hear so much of? Is it that far from an Epicurean thought process? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Party on. Do what you want. It doesn't matter. You're just gonna die. And that's it. There's nothing more to it. There's not a heart on the face of this earth that truly, truly, truly believes that. We've got something in us that deeply, deeply, the greatest cynic deeply, deeply questions that. Deep down in the core of their being, they deeply, or why would they be so vehement against it? Why would they be so opposed to it? There's something deep out in there that cries out, man, there's got to be something more than just this. Radical. God is so good. For if the dead do not rise, again, we're reading that portion. If in verse 16, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And this is the worst part. You are still in your sins. Do you notice there's not even a question? There's not even a question of their understanding that they're sinners. That's a presupposed understood thing, that they are sinners. There's not even a question about that. You're still in your sins. Then also, those who have died or fallen asleep, just a term that they used for death, because they didn't believe it just went from life to life for believers. So that's why this term is there, fallen asleep. It's not about soul sleep, like some people have come up with this odd concept. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a term that they used for a believer who died, their life transferred from this life. They just inhale, exhale, now you're on the other side. You know, it's that simple. Life went on now on the other side. They've fallen asleep in Christ. He says, then they've perished. And then he says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable, or most miserable, some translations render it. Our hope is totally hinged on the fact, as a Christian, your hope, my hope, our hope is hinged directly onto the simple truth that this is not all there is. That this life that you and I have is not all there is. That there is something else after that's even better than whatever we experience here. That's not even comparably more awesome than what we experience here on this life. That there is an afterlife that is much more powerful, much more wonderful than this. And he says, can you imagine, he says, if that is the only, if that's your hope, but then it doesn't exist, then you're really, that. This is just a miserable thing. That's horrible, because you've hoped in something that doesn't really exist, because we had such high hopes in all of this. This is the significance of this morning, is that this is the main issue that you and I struggled with before we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, and this is what all of humanity struggles with. Is this resurrection concept, is this really true? It's the main issue. Did he rise from the dead? Did Jesus rise from the dead? I agree. And if he did, then what we proclaim is the truth. What he proclaimed is the truth. So it really eliminates all the confusion. And I do know, and I understand, and I am in this with you, this struggle and this battle of what we deal with within our world today. I know the pull and the tug to compromise that simple truth. But we cannot, we shall not. We shall go on this side of eternity into the grave, believing with deep passion and conviction that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, as the scripture proclaims. We have to believe it to that extent. And if in fact I really believe that, if in fact I believe that, then I believe all of his statements are true. And if all of his statements are true, I would hold back nothing from trying to persuade and share that same simple truth that anyone can be delivered from their sin and the grip of sin if they will but receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, just as you and just as I have received that. This is the power of the gospel, because it really is the truth. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord, or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life, that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.